The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Hi, good afternoon. Welcome to Man and Lion on Manx Radio. It's an open line through till 1 today, so call 66 13 68, text or WhatsApp on 166 177, email studio at manxradio.com, and you're on. We all like to eat, don't we? Everybody likes to eat. But I just wonder what your reaction is to the MNFU, the Manx National Farmers Union. They've highlighted that only, of all the food that's eaten on the Isle of Man, only 6% is produced on the Isle of Man. Now, I'd like to let that sink in. So, only 6% of the food that's eaten on the Isle of Man is produced on the Isle of Man. Food security is naturally something that's important to us, and the MNFU has launched a petition calling for more Manx produce to be stocked on the shelves here, something that the Environment, Food and Agriculture Minister, Claire Barber, agrees with.
It's certainly an area that we've recognised in the food security plan, so absolutely support the work that the MNFU are doing in this space. And I suppose what we want to then see is the people signing that petition also making changes to how they purchase. And what we then need to understand is how we can make that easier for them. So I think there's a role for DEFA definitely in this, but it also is about all of us as consumers thinking and consciously making decisions about how best we can support those farmers and food producers on our island. So some of the first things we've done is actually looking at how we work with the Department for Enterprise. And that's been obviously quite a big piece of work. So really just trying to make sure that we're providing the right support in the right places. So some of that's been an early looking at how we do grant support, making sure that we're providing the support for SALSA accreditation, for example, but also looking at how we baseline the data. So some of that's trickier perhaps than we first imagined. One of the things that it's important to say, and if we work with the 6% as our best piece of evidence we have, that's how much we're producing and we're consuming. But of course, there is also what we're producing that's currently being exported. And from a food security perspective, what we saw during COVID, as an example, is we were able to divert some of that back to the island to give ourselves greater confidence during a specific period.
And has government ever considered introducing legislation for UK companies operating on the Isle of Man to make sure that they are stocking Manx products?
So that is something we've looked at and something that certainly we haven't taken off the table. We would far rather work with those companies to look at how we can support them to get more Manx produce into their stores. And I think one of the nervousnesses that I had when we started to look at this very early on was if we were to put a percentage at the minute, I'm not sure that we could fulfil it. That's not to say it's off the table. That's to say that we're aware that there's a possibility we may need to look at something like that. But that's not our first choice.
Claire Barber, MHK, DEFA Minister. I just wonder what your thoughts are regarding this. Now, once upon a time, the Isle of Man could fall back on spuds and herring. Now, well, we don't have many farmers that grow spuds anymore. As for herring, well, so if anything went wrong, what would we do if things went wrong? Now, obviously, everything is brought in by the boats. Everything comes in. So if anything went wrong with the boats, and you know what happens when the boats don't go for 2 or 3 days. We've lost Ramsay Bakery. We've lost the supermarket chain that used to stock most Manx produce, ShopRite. The government missed the boat in imposing any regulations on the monopoly that's now Tesco's, really. Obviously, we have the co-op. We have the brewery's supermarket, Spar. But if you were setting up a food business on the Isle of Man, where would you go to get it stocked, apart from selling the darn stuff yourself or delivering door to door? Thank the Lord we have the creamery, the biggest volume producer of food products on the Isle of Man, I would guess. But it's a genuine question. If things went base about apex, what would we do? What, I mean, we could grow our own mushrooms, but what else? Here's Julian now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. It's a beautiful day out there, isn't it?
Very nice.
Yeah, good for growing things. Yeah, the headline today on Manx Radio, government urgently needs to make Manx food production more competitive. There's a few thoughts on this. As the Isle of Man government is so concerned about emissions and the environment, along with fair trade, how about a local tax applied to foods based on the environmental impacts of their global supply chain?
I was only thinking about this because I bought some little potatoes at the weekend, some little, you know, the little tiny potatoes coming from here, there and everywhere. And it struck me, you know, spuds grow, you can grow spuds everywhere on the Isle of Man. And as you say, taxing, I mean, food, the Green Lobby used to go absolutely, you know, excited about food miles, and that seems to have just, if pardon the pun, but gone off the table.
Well, yeah, I mean, the example, I've mentioned this before on the programme. If you look at Tesco Seabass, the only thing they offer is, if you look on the back, grown in Turkey. So that's about 2,600 road and sea miles away in the Aegean Sea. And not only is this heavy on diesel, you can imagine, a local fish would reduce diesel usage by over 90%. But farmed fish requires the use of antifungal, antiparasite and antibiotic medications. And some of those that are used in Turkey are illegal under EU and UK law. But as Turkey isn't in the EU or the UK, they're exempt from these. So they use them. Also, all long-distance foods of this type require high-specification plastic packaging to resist the thousands of miles of travel, because you've got things like cold chain handling, and then they're handled at distribution centres. You've got several days on supermarket shelves. And you'll know very well that these packages include things like thick plastic trays with foil ceilings so that they're leak-proof and temperature-resistant, and they can withstand things like haulage vibration and shock if they're dropped. Mm. And you're not forgetting as well the environmental cost burden of disposal of all this packaging. And the Isle of Man doesn't have these issues. I think it was Stuart Mead said that packaging is not allowed on the Isle of Man, more or less. So the local produce is basically direct to shelf and sold within 48 hours.
Yeah. I mean, I just wonder where the Green Lobby is in this. Why isn't the Green Lobby absolutely jumping up and down and demand? They normally demand things. So why aren't they demanding that this sort of stuff should absolutely stop? And as you quite rightly say, anybody outside the EU, and farmed fish is absolutely chock full of, well, there were mites and everything that go around these things that are grown in big pens. So, and we, as customers, we never asked for plastic. We were perfectly happy with greaseproof paper and paper. Plastic has been foisted on the public by the food industry. They're the ones that have done this. And we're the ones that get berated for using plastic. We never asked for it.
Well, that's right. And it's kind of topical at the moment, because people have been talking negatively about the Trump administration applying tariffs. But if you actually look at countries like Turkey, they have import tariffs against our produce that amount up to about 25%, which is extremely unfair. So if the Isle of Man evened up the tariffs through some sort of reciprocal fair trade policy, where it's fair to us in the same way that they're doing, and then we exerted an environmental supply chain tariff against long-haul food items that we can grow or catch, Manx produce would instantly become more attractive. Another thing, the steam packet is five times more expensive for freight costs than the average in the UK. So that's something that is within the control of government to either subsidise or, you know, just get a realistic handle on it. The fact that we've lost chicken production on the island for over 10 years. Well, you know, how hard is that to restart? I mean, you know, if necessity is the mother of invention, isn't it? And we also follow most of what the UK said. So the UK, despite the fact that since 1984 was the peak self-sufficiency on the Isle of Man at about 82%, and they're down at 62% now. However, if you actually look at what the UK produces, they have a self-sufficiency index. So beef and veal, they're still 85% self-sufficient in the UK. Milk is actually at a surplus, so they're 105%. Mutton and lamb, 99% self-sufficient in the UK at the moment. Poultry, 83%. We got none now. So why is the UK 83% self-sufficient on poultry? Eggs, 89%. And cereals, 90%. This is despite that decline. I think it was 78% in 1984 was the most self-sufficient overall for the UK. That's down at 62. But most of the stuff that they're actually growing here, and where are we now? 6%. So that leaves us at the mercy of ferry and air disruption, UK shortages, price fluctuations, and currency spikes. So if the Isle of Man government is really serious about the environment, we can start penalising long-distance plastic packaged foods that we could otherwise be producing here. And by the way, I'm going to be a bit controversial. Can we please, with the reckless immigration policies that the UK is showing at the moment, maybe now is a good time to reconsider the common travel area and see whether we should actually get a handle on that. Because as we've been talking about, people can come and go on the boat with completely, you know, if they haven't got luggage with them, they can come and go under Mickey Mouse in their name. So maybe we need to get a handle on a couple of things like that. But as far as food security is concerned here, even if we just did a reciprocal tariff against the countries that won't let us go in with our stuff without shoving at least 25% on us, that would immediately make things easier for us. So I don't see why the DEFA minister can't actually, you know, try and engage with that idea.
Okay. All right. Appreciate it. Thanks for calling today.
Thanks, Andy. Cheers.
18 minutes past 12. Vivian is on Man in Line now. Hi, Vivian.
Hello, Andy. You know, last week after the Southern Show, they were on that there was no local butchers there selling anything. Do you remember that?
Yes, I heard that, yeah.
Right. So it's usually Tier the Butchers in Ramsey that do it at the shows. So, of course, I went in, I deal in there, and I said, why weren't you at the show? Because DEFA wouldn't help us. So well, there's the answer.
When they said DEFA wouldn't help them, what did they want?
Well, I gather they must support them and help get the marquee ready and provide all sorts of things, but they weren't prepared to help anybody do anything. So that's why you didn't have a butcher at the Southern Show, and you won't have one at the Manx neither.
Right, okay. All right.
So that doesn't help. My other comment is, they're talking about the price of food. I know of young people that can't afford to buy Manx food, meat and things like that. And this is genuine, this, because of the cost of it. Now, somewhere, somebody's got to do something about this. There's a young man in Ramsey that puts a veg shop on the quay every weekend. He grows his own and he buys what he can locally and it's all there. But he has to charge a price for it to make a living.
Mm.
And this is what... But DEFA doesn't help any of these people produce these things or support them. DEFA are only looking for their own money.
Well, you would have thought that they would help support. I mean, it's surely in their interest, isn't it?
No. No, it's work. And come on, they don't like work. None of our government do.
I'm sure they disagree.
They might disagree, but it's true, this. This is talking to people and seeing what's going on.
Hmm. Well,
it's not good enough.
Well, the thing is, only producing 6% of the food that we eat. I mean, if anything goes wrong with it, Vivian, we're up the creek without a paddle.
I know that. But there again, we do produce more food than that, but that's only what government know about. There's lots of little country shops selling a lot of local produce that nobody knows anything about. And it's far better than what you buy in the supermarkets.
Oh, well, that's without doubt. Okay, thanks, Vivian.
Thank you. Bye.
Good to hear from you. And David joins us on Man in Line now. Hi, David.
Hi, Randy. And it's great to hear Vivian there. We do miss you, Vivian, and we'll be meeting tonight, and I'll mention that you're still very active. That's good. But, Andy, what I was coming on for was a couple of things, was is to thank Rob Collister as well, because I don't think the news, your newsrooms had an answer back from Orchid commissioners regarding why we're not meeting the politicians anymore. And I'd love to find out, because I was one. People have been asking me, which way did I vote? Well, it was in the public domain, so I can tell you that. I voted to meet the politicians, and that's including the ones that's in Garth, that's Daphne Kane and Andrew Smith as well, because in my opinion, and it's only my opinion as such, if we don't find out what's going on in government, we don't know what's going to go on in local government. And when we need each other, we need to talk to one another and have a plan to move things forward. And that's why I come on all the time. And quickly, I'm going to go over to the one that I've seen in a new news article on from Max Radio there now, is up at the Russian mines, where they're going to dump the contaminants from Peel that's in a settling ponds out at Patrick there. John Kenyuk would be turning over his grave now. With regarding that, where we're going to put potentially lead, arsenic and stuff back, transport it all from where it is up to Russian mines and put it back down in again. And quite rightly what people are saying, and I believe it there too, because I know what happened, it just goes back into the system, comes down the Neb River and back into Peel Harbour. Should we be doing that? And that's the question I'm put out there to the people that's more brainier than me. And we need to get behind. I don't know who the... This is sadly on my reflection is. I don't know the local authority members in Foxdale or whether Russian comes under somewhere different and who are the politicians for that particular area. They need to stand up and bellyache a bit.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for that.
See you, boy.
I got a note in from Wendy who just said, we used to live in Jersey and there's a thing called Farm Jersey in Jersey, which was an initiative to basically add impetus to the agricultural and agriculture industries within Jersey's rural economy. Of course, Jersey's tiny compared to the Isle of Man, but they're very big on spuds. The Jersey agricultural, they've always been big on spuds, and they look after their fishermen as well. If you've got any experience of that, I'd like to hear from you. But what do you think we should do? Being of a certain age, says Tina, and having a family hotel in Douglas Prom in the 60s, 70s and 80s, I can remember a time when we had thousands of tourists annually. We only had to pick up the phone to get all our dairy products, all our veg, fish, meat and bread delivered fresh by farmers, growers and local retailers. We had it then. It seems to have gone now. Well, there's no seam about it, is there? Thank you, Tina. It's good to hear from you. Howard's with us now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Just listen to the thing about the food being produced on the island. How many people remember Agrimark? Not the one that's up at the Cool. That's just a wholesale business. But the one that used to be at Castle Hill on Victoria Road, the old Doughty's factory. And that was run for farmers, by farmers. Henry Robinson was the main man there, and it tied in the dairies with the milk, etc., the cheese, and they had their own meat producing section of Agrimark. And they used to have farmers all over the island, the likes of Pat Neen down at Colby, Crady Quill. He was producing winter vegetables, cabbage, all that type of thing, the brassicas, sprouts, etc. And they would come into Agrimark on a daily basis, fresh, and go back out to the... What we had, a multitude of small shops I think his name was Brew. He used to be up at Kirkmichael. He used to grow the root vegetables because of the sandy soil up there. And one we've still got left now, Alison's up there at Andreas Way with the spuds. But the butcher's area used to produce all their meats, the bacons, all the black puddings and various cuts of meat. They used to do their own salting of the bacon, etc. But that all disappeared. And it was taken over by an English company and became what we still know as Agrimark, but they are quite literally wholesale UK-produced items. They do have a few bits of bank stuff. But this is what the problem has been, that the regulations and large companies moving into the island. And unfortunately, and we all praise ShopRite, ShopRite were one of the very first to have the stores all over the island and bringing in cheap UK goods. Whereas previous to that, all Strand Street used to be small shops, butcher's shops, all the little ones that you go down on a daily basis, bread shops, etc., and they all rapidly disappeared. Ramsay Bakery took over the bakery that used to be the Co-op at the back of Prospect Terrace. Jimmy Duncan retired, which he's fully entitled to, and then his wife retired after that. But again, the supermarkets are bringing in UK and European and from all over the world food because people wanted cheaper food. And this is what's happened to the island now. But one thing I've noticed driving around, it might be me being bigoted, I don't know, but there doesn't seem to be a lot of arable land now. There's a lot of lea, as we call it, fallow. Are a lot of the farm owners, not saying the farmers, but the farm owners, are they receiving money from the Isle of Man government to allow the land to lie fallow? And because you used to see wheat grown, okay, the bakery's gone. It's all coming in ready-baked now. Mm. But various other, as I say, with patnaim and all the others growing the vegetables, and they actually, in the, well, it's going back a while, Agrimark, and the government, the farmers used to grow seed potatoes for export, thousands of tons of them. And they were grown here on the island because of the disease-free and exported all through the UK. They were inspected here, shipped from here, and sold in the UK. Well, you don't see any of that now. But
I just wonder, Howard, I just wonder, this obviously just dribbled away over the years, and it may be our obsession with buying food on cost alone, because, you can buy... You know, you can buy a frozen pizza for a couple of quid nowadays.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's brilliant quality. I'm not saying nutritionally there's much in it, but you can buy very cheap food. I just wonder, whereas, but people are sending me details about what happens in Jersey. Now, in Jersey, they've obviously got the Jersey cattle, a very, proud breed, the Jersey Royal Potato, but they also grow vegetables and fruit. They do all sorts of things that we could do. We could grow vegetables. We can grow fruit, we can grow apples and stuff like that, we can grow watercress, we can have a mushroom factory, we can milk goats, we can do all sorts of things. I just wonder...
Well, we have goat cheese, etc., and Manx cheese, we always buy that.
Yeah.
And even we get the kippers, the Devereux kippers, because Moore's is gone now, but Tesco was stocking them, but because the wholesale price from Devereux had gone up, only marginally. I don't know where it came from with the price of the heron or otherwise, but there was none in Tesco's who were stocking them for a long while. And apparently it's because of that price rise. Everything has to be decided through the Tesco system in head office. And this is where the problems lie. If people want to put Manx stuff in, they do have quite a bit. I have to say that there's quite a bit in there. But Not as much as what we had when we had a freedom of choice. We have no freedom of choice now.
And that's it, you see. Our choice is now governed by wherever it is, Welling Garden City or, or wherever, Tesco's, Cheshunt in Hertfordshire. So everything's governed from there. It may be brilliant quality, but if it doesn't fit the kind of price matrix, we're out. Mm-hmm. And that's you can't base a business on that.
No. But you look at, you just open your fridge door and look in there and take out tomatoes. They used to all come up from Guernsey at one time, Jersey and Guernsey with tomatoes, and that's all within the British Isles, should we say loosely. But it was all, now they're Morocco, all over the world. You pick up a cabbage or a cauliflower, and that's come from somewhere. We're getting sprouts from Morocco. Who ever heard of that in the past? And as I say, the Isle of Man, it'd be a question to be asked, are the Manx government paying a fee, a levy, or otherwise you would call it, to the owners of the land? I'm not saying the farmers are grafters, but, and they won't be in the receipt of this, but the owners of the land, are they getting money from the Manx government to leave their land fallow and not growing vegetables or such? So it's something that needs to be looked at, but not from a distance, which the DEFRA seem to be doing.
All right, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling today, Howard.
Take care. Bye now.
Good to hear from you. And Louis just dropped me a note in just to say, we may have cheap food, but we have no agricultural industry with us. We don't have any mass food producers on the Isle of Man. We don't export. We don't export Manx spuds. Do we export much Loughton lamb? Have we got enough to make it a business? Is that exported anywhere? Obviously, the Queenies go, but we don't see. They kind of just, they're just taken out and they go. So just think about this. And it's easy to just bypass it, but just think of the two numbers. The 100%, the food that we eat, 100%, okay? Only 6% of that 100% is produced on the Isle of Man. And I'm guessing that the creamery has a lot to do with that 6%. Can you imagine if anything went wrong with our logistics, what we'd do? Andrew's with us now. Hi, Andrew.
Hi there, Andy. Good day to you. I was just thinking about this situation, but I can't remember why Manx ices were stopped, inverted commas, from producing ice cream. There was something, it was dairy ice cream, and I can't remember why, but the floodgates were opened to ice cream produced off-island.
Oh, when was that?
A long time ago.
Was it?
A long, long time ago. But there had been something that there was Manx ices, dairy ice cream, and effectively the government here was, inverted commas, forced to have to allow the import of ice cream from England.
Right.
And I think that's I think it was probably that opened the floodgates to all other products being imported. And so until 2011, I think it was, there was a derogation in place which limited the amount of beef coming into the island. But DEFRA just let it lapse. So the thing is, that will surely fix the problem, as it were, by having some sort of quota in place that says that the supermarkets can only import 80%, say, of the demand, or whatever percent is chosen. And that, yes, for a short period, there could be a price spike because the demand might outstrip the supply that the supermarkets are allowed to bring in. But that would then allow for local producers to upscale and meet that demand.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, that's quite simple. Why I challenge Claire Barber, actually, to come on and tell us why that cannot happen. Hello, Claire Barber. Can you please come on and tell the public why you cannot limit the import of produce to the Isle of Man? by way of some sort of quota regime or tariff regime. I mean, surely that would fix the problem.
Well, you would think so, but I mean, somebody's got to set up the industries on the Isle of Man. You know, people have got to...
Well, I accept that, but that's what I'm just saying. There would be a time lag where there could be a price spike because the demand will outstrip the supply which these the supermarkets, etc., are able to bring in. So there could be a time lag whilst local producers set up. And what I also don't understand is this situation at the moment whereby a private individual is not allowed to bring meat or dairy product in from Europe. So if I've been away and I go to the Carrefour supermarket in France or Belgium and I buy something there, some meat or sausage or cheese, and I bring it back to the Isle of Man, I can't do that yet. We just look in the local supermarkets and they've whole ranges of produce from sausage and cheese that's come from Europe. How are they able to do that? I can't do it.
Yeah, well, they say it's because of foot and mouth.
Well, they do say, well, yeah, but if I just go to the Carrefour shop in France or Belgium and I buy sausage or cheese or something like that, why? What's wrong with that? How is that different from the same products, effectively, that the local supermarkets are selling?
Yeah.
No, they should surely be banned from bringing it in as well.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. However, do you think the government has got this in their sight? Do you think they it's the Manx Farmers, National Farmers Union that have brought this up. The government have not mentioned it.
The government, they're just the civil servants, to be honest, are just looking after their own jobs and they don't want to have to step outside of their little comfort bubble and deal with this matter. They're just happy sitting at their desks, to be honest, I think, and just dealing with what comes on their desk. Well, that's it, nice, cushy little job. And so somebody like, again, Claire Barber, please come on, step up and tell us why this can't be done. And surely as a minister, the ministers are people in there that's to set policy. All you have to do, surely, is say to them, look, we need this fixing. This has to be done. Come back to me within 3 months and tell me how it's going to be done. And if you can't come back to me with a plan, then you're obviously not up to the job. You'll need to go.
Okay, all right.
That's the same across all the departments. Oh. Cheers. Thanks, Andy.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for that. A note in from 182. DEFRA are killing the farming and fishing industry. There's too much rules and regulations destroying the food industry. Nothing more that I'd like to do than produce more beef and lamb for the industry, but I won't produce more food if the food security isn't there. Isle of Man farmers now receive government grants for cutting hedges and keeping the land tidy rather than food and meat production. There's more nuance to it than that, but basically that sort of stuff does happen. There is a countryside kind of maintenance payment, 225 that was. And the reason, this is Dick who just said, Andy, the reason our farm foods are so dear is the huge cost of bringing tons and tons of fertiliser to the Isle of Man, which is by far the biggest contributor to carbon dioxide on the Isle of Man and thousands more polluting than food miles. Virtually every farm field on the Isle of Man is covered in fertiliser, colossally expensive. But it's hard to ignore fertiliser is made via a chemical process with oxides, which is 200 times more polluting to the atmosphere than carbon dioxide. It's a massive global industry and won't be replaced. It's proven that 40% of the world's population are here today thanks to the increased food yield since ammonium nitrate, which was invented around 1900. The year 1900. There's no worse product for climate change than fertilizer. Nobody mentions this. Well, you've mentioned it, Dick. And if the government reduced ferry price of fertilizer, Manx farmers will be able to compete, which would be far better. But obviously fertiliser. What about the natural stuff? And what about the seaweed? Is that used at all? Because the natural stuff is kind of free, isn't it? And the seedweed's free. It just needs to be hauled away. It's Frank with us now. Hi, Frank.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thanks.
So yesterday, during your program, there was a lady called Diane phoning in, very upset about hordes of pensioners storming Isle of Man beaches in their dinghies.
Yeah.
And towards the end of her phone-in, she said, if any of your listeners know more about it, to phone in. So here I am to reassure poor Diane, if she's listening, that it was me who created that video. And you were absolutely right. It is, of course, almost 100% AI created. It was a skit, a spoof, and a bit of fun, which has accumulated, I think, close to 400,000 views now. So I can assure Diane there are no pensioners storming Isle of Man beaches in dinghies.
Even one from Bolton.
Well, see, the thing is, they're not coming in dinghies, but part of my content creation, if you look for my YouTube channel, I do a lot of like guides for the Isle of Man, you know, if you want to move here, what it's like, the good, the bad things, the bits the government websites don't tell you. So I get a lot of people contacting me, you know, can you help us? And I help them as a hobby. I don't earn anything with it. You know, if someone has questions or so, because I moved around the world and I appreciate, you know, if someone local helps you. And you wouldn't believe how many queries I'm now getting and others that I know are getting, and how many people really are wanting to escape, not just pensioners, but everyone, companies, individuals, families, are literally trying to escape the UK to the Isle of Man. They're not coming in dinghies, using the plane with the steam packet, but there is some truth to that video. We are, you know, a escape plan for many UK residents.
My word. And you say, I mean, you've heard about, where did you hear that people are wanting to come here?
Well, I put my details in all my videos and say, if you have any questions, you know, this is my email, this is my phone number, and my inbox, especially since this video came out, which obviously a lot of people in the UK watched, that blowing up. My WhatsApp is like a waterfall now. But I know a few other people who help with relocations over here, and I do know, so I work for a CSP locally as well, and I do know that people basically moving here is a big economic driver, actually, at the moment. It's becoming more and more, which, you know, is great for the Isle of Man. But, of course, some people will know we need to be very careful with immigration.
How long did it take you to put that video together, Frank?
About 2-3 hours. That's all you need these days. It is so easy to do with AI. It is scary. I mean, there's a lesson in there, you know, that you can create something in your bedroom for very little cost. The subscription service I use, the cost for the whole video was maybe £20 maximum.
And how many views has it had?
Now it's at 380,000 on YouTube, plus another 200,000 on Facebook. So it's exploded.
Well, and you don't take,
there's a
you don't
fair
take,
few people you, who you think it's real.
You don't take commercials on your YouTube channel.
Not really. Some of the content is monetized, but you know, it's still only a hobby. It doesn't really pay for much.
Okay.
And there is actually a little disclaimer that says at the beginning, so you have to declare if your video has AI content. And there's a tiny little disclaimer, which is very easy to miss, that says it contains altered content. But you know, if you don't look closely, it's only there for a few seconds and it's small. Then, of course, it's so good now that you will think it's real. So my apologies again to Diane, and I'll assure her there are no pensioners storming the beaches.
Okay. Thanks, Frank. Good to hear from you.
See you later. Bye.
Now, it's 16 minutes to one. Quality, economy,
that's what we're all about. Imagine relaxing in your new luxury bathroom with the latest bathroom suite. Or how about a stunning wet room with contemporary designer tiles? Turn your dreams into reality at a price you can afford at Pacesetter. Visit the Pacesetter Bathroom and Tile Showroom, Harris Terrace. That's what we're all about. Suffering with joint pain or severe migraines? Whether it's from an injury or ongoing illness, you don't have to suffer in silence. The Crowther Clinic at Hospice Isle of Man in Strang offers expert private pain management tailored to you. And the best part? Every penny of profit goes straight to supporting free hospice care for our community. Take control of your pain and feel like yourself again. Visit crowtherclinic.im or call 647 450. Crowther Clinic. Private care with purpose.
For two whole days of fun and entertainment,
fantastic food and drink,
a huge range of Manx craft and trade exhibitors,
and so much more.
It must be time for the Royal Manx Agricultural Show.
On Friday the 8th and Saturday the 9th of August at Knockalo Farm Patrick, come and celebrate the very best of Manx tradition, community and countryside.
Amazing equine stunts, young farmers tug of war, plus the DEFA Manx Produce Marquee, showcasing the best of Manx food and drink.
The Royal Manx Agricultural Show. Visit royalmanx.com or find us on Facebook for more information and to buy your tickets.
Thank you to our gold sponsor, Conister Bank.
Supported by IFGL and your nation station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
And Bonzo's with us now. Hi, Bonzo.
Hi there, yes. Oh, gosh, I'm a bit in shock at the moment because I'm finding myself agreeing with a fair bit of what Julian was saying.
Crikey.
Fine. I'm going to have to go and have a lie down in a darkened room in a bit of a while. But things about the agricultural sector, I dare say you could probably date the decline in food sales of various sorts on the Isle of Man of Manx produce from when Tesco came in the early 2000s. And now, of course, that they are in such a dominant position in the Isle of Man, having taken over Shoprite, well, they have the capacity to just dictate the market, which they shouldn't have had because of the failure of the government to implement bits of the Competition Act of 2021, which if they had, then they could have insisted that Tesco meet various conditions, including that kind of one of how much Manx produce you would sell. So that's a fault of the government. Secondly, fault of the government, DEFA in their lack of promotion of Manx farms, indeed a general lack of encouragement, but also when coming back to Andrew about tariffs and things and levies and stuff, tariffs and levies are a matter for Treasury, and the first thing Treasury would say is, the UK won't wear that, so that's a complete non-starter. And then to go, but Jersey and Guernsey do it. Yes, but Jersey and Guernsey aren't part of the UK tax regime. They're totally independent on that. We, of course, with our particular constitutional relationship with the UK, we share the duties and VAT and such like. So the idea of being able to put levies and tariffs on that is, that's not going to work. How we can sort of move on this? Well, I think we have to obviously think about subsidising things. And, subsidies cost money. And that's just a bullet that's going to have to be bitten. But then we come to how much tax do we take and how much money do we spend. But at the moment, we have an agricultural sector that, agriculture and sort of food product sector that can't possibly compete with somebody like Tesco. Have huge buying power and virtually dictate to anyone who supplies them what it will cost them, which isn't something that obviously the Manx producers can do. So until those kind of inequalities in the market are addressed, either by regulation or some such, then we're going to still be in this position. And, of course, this is where we can say, hang on a minute, next September we've got an election. So this is going to have to be a key issue that all candidates are going to have to address, and they're going to have to address pretty strongly.
OK. All right. Appreciate your point. Thanks, Bonzo.
OK, then. Cheers. Bye.
Take care. And Kevin is on Man in Line now. Kevin. Hi, Kevin.
Oh, hi, Andy. I just got a reply to Andrew's question about Manxisis.
Oh, right, yeah.
He was referring to why Manxisis went out of business. Now, this is how I recall it, although somebody like Bonzo or Julian may probably know more than I do about this, or even Howard, but as I recall, in the late 70s or early 80s, I think the government, in their wisdom, introduced strict food hygiene regulations and this was governing any food produce that was manufactured on the Isle of Man. And they introduced this additional layer of food hygiene or some sort of production regulations, and it affected Manx produce, but it didn't affect imported produce. Now, this is the law of unintended all of unintended consequences, if you like. So what happened was that Manx ICEs, who were a local producer, they were regulated out of business by the Manx government. So they left the Isle of Man and then started trading in the UK. So the space in the market that was previously occupied then was filled by other importers who produced ice cream for the Isle of Man.
Right.
And I believe Manx ices were trading in the UK for quite a while after that, or under a different name. And I think that was the story at the time. Now, I think it was sort of a typical example of the unintended consequences of introducing regulation to protect the consumer, but drove Manx ices and other producers out of business.
And when was that roughly again, you say?
I think it might have been, I don't know, it could have been the late 70s, early 80s.
Right.
I mean, the regulations could have been passed in the late 70s or early 80s, and then, of course, it just finally drove them out of business, and they left and they set up shop in the UK. But you certainly have a similar position now. You see this happening again with the government introducing MoneyVal, which is an additional set of financial regulations and requirements that is particular to the Crown dependencies, but only affects businesses on the island in Guernsey and Jersey, but will not affect companies in the UK, perhaps. Yeah. I'm not sure, but this is the law of unintended consequences that you see happening time and time again. And I know that, you know, food producers and manufacturers, it is very difficult trading with to comply with these things. And as I say, I could have that slightly wrong. Another Howard may remember better than I do, but that was the reason why Manx ices left the island.
Okay, I appreciate it, Kevin. Thanks for calling today. Andy. Good to hear from you. Thanks for that. If you remember Manx ices, can you tell me what was your favourite flavour, I wonder?
When couples decide to part, there's a lot to deal with. There's the matter of the children, the matter of your property, the matter of pensions. You need to consider the matter of existing wills, and perhaps the matter of a business. And because you matter, Mann Benham Advocates are here for you when it comes to divorce and family matters. For help and advice and a free initial consultation, call Mann Benham on 639 350.
Mann Benham, here for you.
Quadlock is the strongest and most secure mounting system in the world for integrating your phone, camera or accessories into your outdoor pursuits and for your car, van or motorhome. See the Quadlock display at H&H Motorcycles in South Key Douglas.
It's hot, it's here. It's the Lifestyle Furniture Summer Sale. Enjoy sensational special offers throughout our stunning showroom. Save on our most beautiful beds, sumptuous sofas, living and dining furniture and so much more. Plus, there's 20% off art and accessories. And don't forget to visit our brand new garden furniture marquee for truly great outdoors. The Lifestyle Furniture Summer Sale. Now on at Snugborough Trading Estate, Union Mills. It's everything your home's been waiting for.
From boxing
to badminton,
football
to fencing.
It's the Utmost Community Sports Fun Day, Saturday the 2nd of August at Nobles Park.
From 12 noon to 4pm, there'll be a variety of sports to take part in, whatever your age and ability.
Plus, entrance is free for all, so get the whole family involved and give a new sport a go.
The Utmost Community Sports Fun Day, Saturday the 2nd of August at Nobles Park. Sponsored by Utmost and your nation station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
963 says, Andy, why can't we use seaweed and crushed shells from the fish factory? The seaweed's free and we have it in abundance. A long time ago, seaweed was a commodity that people earned a living from by collecting and selling it onto farmers before industrialisation. Juan's with us now. Hi, Juan.
Well, isn't that my favourite subject about seaweed? How long have I been going on about that?
Well, forever, it seems.
Absolutely, yeah. I heard Frank Snoogle on there before. Frank's stuff is very entertaining, actually, on the internet. I was having a chat with him up at Douglas Head the other week. I think he was up there filming the spot where your statue's going to go, Andy. you look at what's happening with DEFRA, and I've questioned Claire Barber twice on this programme now about things, and You know, there doesn't seem to be a dedicated will to actually help with the bureaucracy which the farmers have to put up with. I mean, years ago, like you've mentioned before, and we've mentioned on this show before, we've got fortunes spent on packaging, nice fancy pictures of what we're going to eat that looks so attractive. And there again, you're talking about sustainability and cutting down on wastage and costs. Why have we got all that? You know, people used to create food. The guy would come round with his truck and deliver your carrots and your vegetables and everything that you needed. And, the person in the house would create the food and create something healthy. And they're talking about subsidies. We have to offset that against what's happening with our health service. And when we have more people now with gluten intolerance and celiacs and such like, because the quality of the flour that's getting used is far less quality than our Manx flour. And I was talking to someone from Treasury some time ago, and I think I mentioned it on this program, like I've mentioned everything else before, that they had identified people in the UK that would take our flour because the quality of the Manx flour was far superior than the quality that they were using. And my question is, you know, why is this not done? And I asked this person that at the time, and he said, price of logistics. And I said, well, we own the boat, so I don't get that. And this is the thing. It'd be nice to get someone like Sarah Corkishaw or some of the farmers on this program and give their side of the story of, you know, what help they're actually getting from government. When you look at Scotland now, they're actually paying farmers to sow barley into the ground, and then they're paying them to leave it there and rot. So I ask myself, you know, when you look at the Agenda 2030 and all this other stuff about where they want meat and dairy in the food chain, which is non-existent, how much interest is government really taking and how much bureaucracy are they putting in the way?
Okay.
This is the question. And on the dairy point, just quickly before we go, maybe ask Ian Davidson on that. I think it was down to do with the amount of full cream that was in the legislation, and that was changed.
Okay.
And that's why the English stuff came through. There's the music. I'll see you later, Andy.
Thank you, Joe. Next Friday, a week tomorrow, we're going to be live at the Royal Show, so we'll have members of the Manx NFU on there. So there'll be more to talk about where this is conditioned. Gaz says there's a common theme in the ongoing decline of agriculture, healthcare and infrastructure. It's the government. Well, there's an election next year, Gaz. And that's it. Thanks to Chris on the phone today, and thank you for being part of Man in Life. WINT